Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of a spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Then he makes this statement, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Let me read two more passages, and then I want to come back to this passage. In Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 1, the disciples were receiving instructions for kingdom services. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now, the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, Andrew, his brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon, the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out after giving instructions. Say, he gave instructions. Come on, say, he gave instructions. Come on, say, kingdom instructions. He says, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. He says to them, tell them, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, they're synonymous. You can interchange those. The kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Now, Luke 10, chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others. Now, in Matthew 10, it's the 12. Now he sends out 70. And he sent them out in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes. Greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you." Just simply meaning that if you greet them and they greet you, you know that's a good place to be. But if you greet them and they're not greeting you in the same way, you know that's not where you want to be. It says, "Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house." Then he says this, "Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet be sure of this, be sure of one thing, that the kingdom of God has come near." I love the way that reads, because he's simply saying, whether you like it or not, whether you receive it or not, the kingdom is here. The kingdom of God is here. Now, going back to this statement of 2018, will be a year of religious bondages and strongholds broken, religious and traditional barriers that have opposed the power and the manifestation of the kingdom of God, causing people to be held in bondage, will be toppled, demolished, and destroyed. One of the reasons why this is resonating for me in such a passionate way is that God has graced me to be able to walk in various areas and various places in the kingdom of God. And it's important for us to recognize that we can be in church but not operating in kingdom. And I'm telling you, it's the challenge that we face right now. But God is sovereignly saying, I'm not going to wait for you leaders to get yourself together. I'm going to bypass you, come straight to my body, and do what needs to be done for my church to operate in the place where I've intended for it to operate. Now, let me give you a definition relative to kingdom. Now, we have taught on kingdom for years and years and years and years, but there's some great material out there that's very good and very helpful. One of the books that I'm reading that I'm going to quote from right now is a book called Cosmic Initiative by Jack R. Taylor. Cosmic Initiative. It's a great read. I know some of you may not be given to reading, and that's why I'm sharing some of this with you. But others, you need to find this material and get it down on the inside of you. Some of you have learned how to navigate and walk in places that's further than a denomination, but the challenge we face right now is many are hindered by religious traditions and denominational strongholds that are keeping us bound and keeping us from walking in the fullness of the power of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the eternal rule of God over everything and everybody, everywhere, for all time and eternity. It is above time, yet envelops time. It transcends time and endures time. 1,000,000,000,000 ages ago, God's kingdom existed. 1,000,000,000,000 years from now, it will still exist. Being eternally permanent, it wins the right to be called everything. Because everything else is either encompassed by it or will ultimately cease. Are you listening to me? I am so clear on this right now that I absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that God is shifting things because he has never intended for things to land where they've landed when it comes to his church. And I want to tell you that there is about to be an awakening, and there's going to be what we might call a mass exodus out of the traditional, denominational things into a place of kingdom. I found myself this last week in a meeting, and it wasn't unlike other meetings that I've been in Cincinnati over the years as we began to work with Transformation Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky. Some of you are familiar with that when we put that together, and how God graced us to work with the various denominations in order to align us for a kingdom agenda. And I found myself in this meeting, and one of the gentlemen in the meeting who, from the call, he's over the national facet of organizing and pulling together volunteers. And we had him in a meeting of pastors, and we all sat around the table, and he is speaking to the passion and the vision of the founder of the call, Lou Engle, but also his own passion. And he begins to talk and say, I just want to share with you a couple of things, how God has spoken to me and a couple of dreams that God's given me and how all of this has begun to come together. And as he is sharing that, I'm looking around the room and I'm recognizing that in the room we've got Baptists and we've got Presbyterian and we've got Methodists and we've got different ones around the table, and I'm looking at what I'm hearing what's being said, and I'm looking at the folk, and I'm realizing eyes are starting to glaze over, and there's a sense or feeling almost like a disconnect. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, what am I seeing here? And I'm recognizing I'm seeing what God spoke to me. That there are religious and traditional barriers that are opposing the power and the manifestation of the kingdom of God that's causing people to be held in bondage. They don't know that they're in bondage. They don't know that there really is more. And yet God is sovereignly saying, I'm about to mess it all up. I'm about to tear it all up. I'm about to move in a way that's going to cause things to shift and begin to look the way that he has intended. There is a difference between the kingdom of God and the church in operation. The church and the kingdom are not the same thing. They are not the same thing. The kingdom of God is the reign of God, both in eternity and in time. The kingdom on earth is manifested by the Holy Spirit as he works through the body of Christ, the church, whose members are co-heirs with the king. I'm telling you, hear me when I say to you, Heirs Covenant Church is coming into its hour. Heirs Covenant Church is coming into its hour. There's been this sense of, why does it keep looking like this? Why is it taking so long? Listen, it could be 20 years getting there, but when it gets there, then all of a sudden you recognize it was for such a time as this. My license plate says Heirs, and it doesn't say it as some vanity point. It says it because I believe that every day I wake up as an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. I live out of the revelation of kingdom in existence, and it causes me to be able to transcend the mundane of getting up every morning, looking at the same stuff over and over, the same faces over and over, and recognize that there is a kingdom in existence, and that is where we must begin to live and reside. And when you're able to do that, you can look right past stuff, you can look right past people, you can look right past situations, and recognize there is a bigger picture here. Each member is enrolled in what we might call Kingdom University with a major in training for reigning. I'm not making this stuff up here. I wrote a song 20 years ago, Training for Reigning. 20 years ago, 20 some years ago, God is preparing his people for their greatest hour. We will arise in his glory and the greatness of his power. No, the tests that you face and the storms that you're in are only to make you strong, for we are in training for reigning with Christ. I need somebody just to clap right about now and shout amen, because listen to me, that is the reality of every believer. That is the reality of every believer. Everything you're going through is preparing you. The church also has been entrusted with a redeeming narrative called the gospel that once proclaimed, listen to this, that once proclaimed enables others to enter the kingdom. You see, that's where I believe we've missed it. We talk to people about getting saved, but then you got to convince them what they're getting saved from. Stay with me. When you talk to them about the kingdom that's in operation, you're helping them understand that there is another place. It's eternal. It's in God. It is God. It resides all around us and on the inside of every believer. And you can be a part of that kingdom, for that is where you will find your very best life, because that's where God intended for all of us to be. The day of convincing people that they are sinners living in sin and their life is jacked up, messed up, that day is coming to an end. Culture has changed that and made everything relative. That's not going to work any longer. I'm okay, you're okay. You say I'm not okay, you're going to have to convince me of that. That's the world in which we live right now. So there must be a different message. It's the message of the kingdom. It's the gospel. It's the good news that over thousands of years ago, God looked out from eternity and recognized that my most precious creation is not going to make it. I created him in my image, in my likeness. He chose not to walk with me, but I'm not going to let him go. I've got a ram in the bush. I've got a savior that's in waiting. And at the appointed time, I'm going to release him. And when he shows up, all of my kingdom is going to show up with him. When Jesus came, he brought his kingdom with him. And that's the message that you and I share. It's the message that you and I should be walking every day. Everywhere you go, the kingdom shows up. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. The kingdom of God is everywhere. You are the conduit. You are the plug into the eternal power of an ultimate God that is able to step in to any situation. And when you show up, it has the power. You have the power on the inside of you to change it. And you must begin to live and walk in that revelation, or you will live your life in the mundane places that others have found themselves. It enables others to enter the kingdom as well and to understand the eternal kingdom that they have been invited to enter. Again, this is from the book, The Cosmic Initiative. Jack R. Taylor. One of the biggest challenges we face right now is the fact that so many are living out of denomination and not out of kingdom. Living out of denomination and not out of kingdom. One of the other books that I purchased recently, I was telling Pastor Maurice about it. I told her the title, and she says, and she was kind of like, man, that doesn't sound like like a really fun book to read. But let me ask you this. How many of you just loved every book you had in school? Every book in college? How many of you in school or college right now, you know, you had to press your way through some stuff because there was no inspiration on any page. It was just information. And so there's this discipline that we have to come into as well, because God would not have you ignorant, brethren, sistren. I know y'all, I know that ain't a word. I just making sure y'all awake. So I start to read through this book, and it's helping me, because here's what I'm understanding. I sit in this meeting and I hear people go around the room and they say who they are. They say the pastor of the church. I need to have some sense of the terrain. I need to have some sense of who I'm sitting in the room with. You say you're a Lutheran. I need to be able to track back just a little bit about the history of the Lutheran church. I need to have some sense of what you believe, because when I hear a man talking about the incredible things that are supposed to be a part of the kingdom. When Jesus sent them out, remember what he said. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. Man, are we seeing that today? Why? I'm going to tell you in a moment why. And I found myself as this gentleman was talking, and there were those in the room, and it was like, okay, this is out there, this is out there, this is out there, this is out there. But the reality is, if you're going to operate in the more, say more, come on, say more. Now, we sang, I want more, I need more, okay? And he certainly wants us to have more and to operate in more, okay? But in that more has to be the abandonment on our part to controlling it, okay? You say, I want more. He says, let go of what you got. You want more? Quit trying to control it. You want more? Quit trying to control me. You want more? You see, right now, years ago, I was in this conference over in Kentucky. Don Norai was there, some other pastors. It was called the Winds of God Conference. Some of you might have been there years ago. This is years ago. Eris was just getting going. Winds of God Conference. And I never forget, I was leading worship. And here's the thing about the kingdom in operation. Here's the thing about the kingdom in operation versus the church in operation. I'm trying to hurry, but I'm not going to get through all of this today. It's going to take our time. Okay, here's the difference between kingdom in operation and church in operation. See, kingdom moves at any given. Okay, I was going to say any given time, but it doesn't operate in time. It invades time. Okay. And so, but churches, we set a time, okay? We set a time. But I could bring up anyone on our worship team or anybody that's here early, and they can give testimony that God doesn't wait till you get here to show up. He shows up when somebody acknowledges that he's already here. And that's why when we're here and we say we're sound checking, Man, the presence of God gets so incredible in here. LOJ's not waiting to minister to the Lord. The team isn't waiting. It's just happening. Why? Because the kingdom is in operation all the time. But we live in time and space. And so we try to craft it, and we kind of say, okay, God, just wait now. Just wait. So you can't do that to God. God's moving. Say, hold on, God, it ain't service time yet. Can you wait and do that? Or God's moving. Say, oh, it's time to go. Okay, God, thank you very much. Can you come back next week and do the same thing or do it? Yeah. Okay, now hear me now. I'm telling you, I'm talking about the denominational structure and how we have put this thing, but yet we want the more. So I'm in this meeting, and in this meeting, I'm leading worship, and it's right after lunch. So people are coming back in, getting ready for the next session, okay? But we're leading worship, and I'm telling you, God is moving. Now, we're just playing music as people are coming in. So I watched Don Norai get up off his seat on the front row. He got up off his front seat, and he started walking through the crowd, laying hands on him. People falling out. He ain't saying nothing, just falling out. And we just playing. In the midst of that, though, a well-meaning pastor wants to try to get control of everything, bring some order to it. Now, Don's out there. He's just laying hands. And this pastor comes up and grabs a mic, and he starts trying to say something. Now, we're flowing. No scripted song, no favorite song, okay? And he comes up, he grabs the mic, he starts talking. Now Don, who had a mic on as well, from the back, he says, John! And he always pointed his finger like this, you know. John, how blows the wind of God? Now I'm playing. I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. Everybody got quiet. I said, I don't know. He said, no man knows. And then went back to laying hands on people. Now, let me tell you what he was doing. Jesus tells Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. See, Don had tapped into this place of the Spirit where he's moving. Now, I'm not waiting until somebody pulls us all back together. I'm just going with the move. So he just starts laying hands on people. I want to make a statement. It may be somewhat controversial. I may get some hits, some negative things on Facebook. That's okay. Because here's the thing, guys. At some point, hear me. At some point, you're going to have to stand up. I mean, really stand up. Because this is our hour. I've already got negative emails about the call coming. I wrote a brother back, answered it, still invited him. He wrote back some more negative. I said, I'm done. I don't have time for that. I will always be conciliatory. It's in my DNA, reconciliation. But this is what we deal with. A denomination is an association of fellowships or congregations within a religion that have the same beliefs or creed, engage in similar practices, and cooperate with each other to develop and maintain and maybe even protect shared enterprises. Presbyterians are Presbyterians, precisely because they share the same beliefs, engage in similar practices, and cooperate with each other to develop and maintain shared enterprises. Now, you can plug in anybody. Now, the author just happened to be, say, Presbyterians, and you'll see his name up there, Ron Rhodes. This is the book that I just mentioned to you, entitled The Complete Guide to Christian Denominations. You know, don't rush out and get it. It's probably not going to help most of you, but unless you really want to dig deep like that. But I need that, because the place that I believe God has called me to walk in and invited us to step into, I need to have a sense of who I'm meeting with and who I'm talking to, and recognizing that there are these ministries out there that have, they just believe what they believe. Now, believe it or not, there are over 33,000 denominations in the world. Did you hear what I said? 33,000 denominations. And that's as of the mid-2000s. In my years of serving in ministry, my years of walking with God, this is what I've come to believe, and this is the statement I wanted to make. That denominations is a plot to divide the church and weaken its effectiveness in the earth. A plot to divide the church and weaken its effectiveness in the earth. Well, how can you say that? I'm going to tell you how I can say it. Because I've lived it. Lastly, and again, I'm moving very quickly. I want to give you 3 points here because we need to end on time so that we can join in prayer. The first statement that I want to make is this. The emphasis and focus on any organization, denomination, more than on the kingdom of God in existence will always produce a lesser view of God, his resources available, and his almighty power. The emphasis and focus on an organization, denomination, more than on the kingdom of God in existence will always produce a lesser view of God, his resources available, and his almighty power. See, I don't know what your background is, but I know what mine is growing up. And as a young child, I grew up in the Methodist Church. Now, I'm just sharing my journey. I'm not trying to talk about any particular denomination. I just want to share my journey. I grew up in the Methodist Church. My mom played piano there, led the choir. She still plays for that church even today. She plays for a couple of churches today. She's not a member there anymore, but she helps to serve there. And then growing up there, there were certain things that were good for me that I learned there. Okay? But what caused me to be different is that I've always had a passion for God. I've always had a love of God. So I've always pursued the more of God. And so being there, in my early mid-teens, late teens, as a matter of fact, the first time I ever stood up and spoke a message was in that church at the age of 16. I still remember the title of the message, Stop, Look, and Listen. I was 16 years old. And after I preached that message, there were those in the church, and many people, they will see your giftings and your calling, and they'll begin to mold and shape you. Mm-hmm. Oh, we want to send you to theological seminary. You know, when you get a certain age, we'll send you to the Methodist Theological Seminary. I said, no, I ain't going to do that. I didn't do that. In my pursuit of God, say of God, in my pursuit of God, I didn't stay at that church. I left that church and I went to another church that was really more of the Baptist persuasion. Now, all of these are denominations. All of these are denominations. Each one of them have some good in them, most. But when the focus is more on the denomination than it is on the kingdom of God, we will always, let me read it again. The emphasis and focus on an organization denomination more than on the kingdom of God in existence will always produce a lesser view of God, his resources available, and his almighty power. That's why you can be part of a church, part of a denomination, and you look over at this church over here, and now rarely do we say they got more than we got. No, it ain't like that. Normally it's they off, we on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. So I'm in the church I'm in that doesn't believe in speaking in tongues and being filled with the Holy Spirit. And the church I'm in is saying everybody that's doing that is crazy. Everybody that's doing that, they off. But in my heart, I'm still crying out, God, I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. That's always been and continues to be the cry of my heart. I want more. I want the all. I want the more. I want the all that you have for me. Now, you take those who speak in tongues, they looking at the ones who don't and say, y'all ain't got it. Y'all ain't got it. I'm talking about the division in the body of Christ as a result of these traditional places and the denominations that we found ourselves in. There's more than 300 denominations just here in the United States. I mean, we are a mess. I'm talking about the church. And then we wonder why we can't come together. Well, you can't come together if you just stay aligned with your denominational beliefs, and you don't understand that there's a kingdom out here. You see, I liken it to being in the kingdom and having to navigate through these landmines of this doctrine, this denomination over here, this doctrine. And everywhere you go, you're trying to make sure that you're staying in a good place or the right place. You can't do that. God never intended for that to be part of our walking this thing out. You've got the Catholic Church, and then you got the Protestant, which is a whole list, okay, that gets even more complicated. I tried to do a couple of graphs, but I just said, man, it's going to get too complicated. Folks going to be like this. You know, so I'm saying, look, just leave the graphs alone. Just tell us. Is this making sense to you? The second point I want to make is this. I'm hurrying through this, and I'll recap some next week. Many in the body of Christ have been tricked, and some have allowed themselves to be limited, become limited in their beliefs, walk, and experience in God because they have chosen denomination over kingdom. I know, Pastor, chose denomination over kingdom. Now, the unfortunate thing with this is that we like order, we like structure. Here's the challenge. Sometimes you and I, we want someone to tell us what to believe and what we believe. We give ourselves to it, and then once we're locked into that, everything else is null and void for us. So I've learned to read and to be able to look at, okay, this is what they believe. This is what they believe. This is what they believe. So when I'm sitting down with someone that's a Presbyterian, and I used to attend a Presbyterian church when we lived in California. I used to do some music for them out there. I need to have a sense of how to relate. Even though my goal is to bring us more into a more perfect expression of kingdom. I did that with Vineyard. I know the origins of Vineyard. John Wimber. I know the Vineyard came out of Calvary Chapel. Chuck Smith. I know why John Wimber left. I know that at their core, they are about the kingdom of God. So why is it we're seeing what we're seeing if we're really all about kingdom? It has to do with the statement that I just made. Many in the body of Christ have been tricked, and some have allowed themselves to become limited in their beliefs, walk, experience in Christ because they have chosen denomination over kingdom. One of the challenges for Heirs Covenant Church, hear me, church, one of the challenges for us is people will always ask what you believe, or they'll ask, what kind of church is it? I always say, what do you mean? Oh, well, are you like Baptists, or what are they doing? They're trying to lock you in, put you into a denominational system that helps them to think they know you. They know what your church is about. And so for every church that is endeavoring to operate in kingdom, hear me when I say it's going to take a while for some. Do we have a theology? Yes, we do. But it's not locked into a denomination. So there's the term non-denominational or interdenominational. But why can't we just be the church? Why can't we just be the church? The reason why it's challenging is because people have been raised to believe based on the church they were raised in, their parents went to, or maybe even did not go at all. So think about this. You got a world that's lost and dying looking at a divided church. And they're wondering, is any one of them right? My last point, and then I do have to end out. We have communion, and we still have worship and giving. Lastly, the commitment to a particular church, an organization or denomination, more than the pursuit of God and the revelation of his kingdom, will ultimately stifle one's growth, one's maturity, and one's effectiveness as a believer. The commitment to a particular church, organization, or denomination more than the pursuit of God and the revelation of the kingdom of God will ultimately stifle one's growth and one's maturity and one's effectiveness as a believer. That's why we see what we're seeing right now. That there are some, because they've been able to tap into the kingdom, they're able to see more that's available through the kingdom. But when you think out of this small place, you will always live in a place that's less than where God has intended for us to walk. So here's my challenge to Heirs Covenant Church, those that are guests and visiting. This is the year of kingdom expansion. This is the year of kingdom expansion. God is going to shut down the things that have been hindering his body. And people are going to begin to look for places that are not based on denomination, but based on kingdom. And my challenge to you is that you open up your heart and mind to what that means for you. What is it that God wants to do through you to further see his church come together and be the earthly example of the kingdom of God in operation and in existence? That's what we have the opportunity to usher in 2018. Would you thank the Lord for this word? Is this helping you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.